Before we get into God's Word, let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank You for Your Word that is altogether true and sufficient. We pray now You would enlighten our minds, lift our minds up on high to see through the Word the glory of Christ, our Savior. In His holy name we pray. Amen. Continuing in our study of Acts, we finished up, for the most part, chapter 10 last week. And thinking through that whole context of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the Gentiles, and then in chapter 11, beginning of chapter 11, we see it being retold to the church in Jerusalem. You know, it caused me to be so amazed at what we are seeing unfold. What are we seeing unfold in this text? The revelation of the eternal purpose of the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Consider that. Let that sink in for just a moment. The eternal purpose of the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Spirit. So you may say, what is that eternal purpose? What is specifically the eternal purpose of God that we see unfolding in the text of Acts? Specifically chapter 10. The uniting of all things in Christ. The uniting of all things in Christ. Notice a couple of texts. First in Ephesians chapter 1. I promise we will get to Acts down the road a little bit. Ephesians 1, verses 7 through 10. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ. Notice verse 10, very important. As a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him. Things in heaven and things on earth. Uniting all things in Christ. And then Colossians 1. I had originally just thought of reading verses 26 and 27, but I want to go back and read a few more verses in Colossians 1. First of all, 26 and 27. The mystery, hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The eternal purpose of God to unite all things in Christ by pouring His Spirit into His people. That's what we see being demonstrated here in Acts 10. Going back to verse 15 of chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Sorry, I don't have it on the screen. He, that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. The eternal purpose of God, to unite all things in Christ. And we see that unfolding before our very eyes in this text. And we, as the church, are living it today, uniting with His people here in this place, worshiping the one true and living God together. We are the unfolding of His eternal purpose. We are united, not because we're family in the flesh, not because we're all Americans, not because we're all one color, creed, but because we are in Christ, because we have Him living within us. It's just glorious, isn't it? It's amazing. Amazing grace. So, a few points. First of all, the eternal purpose was a mystery before the cross. Before the cross, it was a mystery. That's what we've read about in Ephesians 1. Colossians, the eternal purpose, the mystery in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to His saints. Notice also in Romans 16, verses 25 and 27. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you, and you thought this was just a doxology that you read, you know, at some points. This is the eternal purpose of God. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. And all the people of God said, Amen. Amen. So the eternal purpose was a mystery. Notice some Old Testament text prophesying of this time that we see in Acts and that we live in. I want you to get that in your mind. What we see unfolded here in Acts is where we live today. Okay? After the cross. Now some might take that in the wrong way, so maybe I should explain a little further. Not that everything that was going on in Acts is going on today. That's not what I mean. But what was unfolded in Acts is carried on until Christ comes back. Okay? Which is Christ in us, the hope of glory, in all of His people meeting together in the church. So notice in Genesis 18:18, seeing that Abraham surely became a great, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed in Abraham. And then we read on in chapter 22, verse 18. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So we have a little further explanation. First of all, it was just all the nations shall be blessed in Abraham. Now we see more explanation. In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And then chapter 28, verse 14 of Genesis, your offspring, still hitting on that offspring, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And then for the explanation, I guess you'd say, for the explanation of who is this offspring, you know, without going into some false understandings that I have heard people say, we'll just go directly to the text of Galatians 3. Galatians 3:16. Now the promises were made to Abraham. That's just what we read in Genesis, right? We just read about these promises that, and you and your offspring shall, in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 16 of Galatians, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, that is plural, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. In him, in Christ, the offspring through natural lineage of Abraham came Christ into the world to fulfill that promise. And in Christ, all the families of the earth are blessed. All the nations are blessed. How? That's exactly what we see unfolded here in Acts. The Holy Spirit being poured out upon Gentiles. Something that the Jews could not understand at that time. Even Peter, he did not fully grasp it. And you see, as he speaks, and later on in Acts, you'll see, he comes to understand it more fully. Well, what a privilege that we have, what a blessing that we have. We can look back at these things. We have the full revelation, the promises made to Abraham, and then we have the epistles of the Apostle Paul to fully explain what is this eternal purpose of the one true and living God to unite all things in Christ in the church. As we see it unfolded today. And then, the eternal purpose was more clearly revealed with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So, before the cross, before Christ came into the world, before the life, the perfect life of the Lamb of God. Before that, it was a what? It was a mystery. It was revealed in shadows and in types, in the law, all these things foretold, prophesied that this eternal purpose was coming. There was a time for it. It was in the future. And then the eternal purpose was more clearly revealed with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But still in a mystery and only to the circumcised. So when Christ died, resurrected, at that point, the atonement had been made, but it wasn't fully revealed as it is today. It was still somewhat in a mystery, and it was only being revealed to who? The Jews, right? Only to the circumcised. Notice Matthew 10, 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand." See, the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the kingdom. What do you mean? Well, what did Jesus say to Pilate? Such a clear explanation of what is the kingdom. Pilate said, "Are you a king then?" Jesus said, "My kingdom comes within. My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my king, my servants would fight." Okay, so what he's saying is, my kingdom comes, in another place, without observation. Kingdom comes within the heart. Or like we read in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then Matthew 15, 21 to 26. "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.'" So this really gives you an idea of the kind of the lay of the land, how it was prior, really, to what we see unfolding in Acts 10. This is the mentality of not just the Jewish leaders who put Christ to death, but this is the mentality of Peter when he saw the sheet coming down and all sorts of animals upon it and the voice, "Kill and eat." And so you can kind of see why his reaction would be, "Never, no, I have never eaten anything common or unclean," right? So this is what he saw demonstrated in Christ. Gentiles are dogs. They're not part of the chosen race, the descendants of Abraham, the elect ones. They're not, naturally. Thank the Lord that it's not natural for anybody, not just Gentiles, but these Jews. They're saved in the exact same way that we're saved, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It's a pouring out of God's Holy Spirit upon the Jews at Pentecost, and then a pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon Gentiles in Acts 10. It's the same salvation, the same Holy Spirit. So, the next, the eternal purpose was revealed by Jesus. Okay, so we've seen the attitude or kind of the way things were with Jews and Gentiles, the relationship. prior to the cross, even with the Lord telling this woman, you know, not right to give the children's bread to the dogs, you Gentiles. This is for the Jews. But then, the Lord doesn't leave it there, does He? Isn't that great? He just doesn't leave it there. Notice Matthew 15 again, verses 27 and 28. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. So put yourself in the place of these disciples, Peter, the other apostles, standing there watching as Jesus said, "Great is your faith. Great is your faith." He didn't just say, "Okay, I'll heal you, now go away and leave me alone." Great is your faith. Wait a minute, Lord, I thought faith was, this is for the chosen people, right? She's a Gentile. No, she can't have faith in you. Yes. Great is your faith. And then some other texts that spoken by our Lord that just so reveal the heart of the Savior. While this eternal purpose of God had not been fully revealed as it is today, yet it's like he was just kind of pulling back the curtain a little bit to let us see a glimpse of it. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." In chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water..." Oh, by the way, preface that with, who is her? We all know who her is there. This is the woman at the well who was a Gentile, Samaritan woman who the Jews had no dealings with. Jesus said to this woman, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again." Everyone. I want you to notice the terms. Everyone who drinks of this water. If I drink of it as a Jew, I'll be thirsty again. Okay? The Lord, the Savior, the eternal God in human flesh, if He drinks of that water, He's going to be thirsty after He drinks of it. The physical water. "But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again." Whoever, that universal term, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Christ in Him, the hope of glory. The water that I will give Him will become in Him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then, chapter 6, verse 33, "For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Gives life to the world. Same term that He used in chapter 3 with Nicodemus. "For God so loved the world. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then chapter 6, verse 51. "I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread..." If who eats of this bread? If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then chapter 8, verse 12. There's just so many of these. It's awesome. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. And then just a couple more. We'll notice chapter 10, verses 14 and 18, 14 through 18. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and am known. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now that's a little more specific, isn't it? A little more of a particular, specific term rather than general. Not much generality to that, other than generality within the sheep. I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. Does that take your mind back to the text in Matthew where he said, I have come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? See, the sheep that are of the lost, the sheep that are lost within Israel, that's these sheep. And then he has other sheep that are not of this particular fold. My thinking is he's talking about Gentiles there. I think it seems very clear to fit that text. And as a prophecy to what we see unfolded in Acts chapter 10. He had other sheep who were not of Israel, but now they are of Israel, right? The Israel of God. And then also in chapter 12, verse 25, whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So, I think you get the idea. We could go on like that for quite some time. So the eternal purpose was revealed by Jesus. And then the eternal purpose was completely revealed as God's Spirit was poured upon Gentiles through Peter preaching the gospel in Acts 10. I told you we'd get to Acts. Acts 10, 34 to 48. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And Tony, I appreciate last week he expounded on that somewhat, on whoever does what is right. What is right? Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Where does faith come from? For by grace you are saved through faith, and that is not yourself, not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. As for the word that He sent to Israel, preaching good news and peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. See, it's all, you know, we looked at a few texts that prophesied of that in Genesis, and then we looked at some of Jesus' words. But it is just all over the Scripture. God revealing throughout the Old Testament that in the offspring of Abraham, all the world would be blessed. All humanity. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles, for they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone forbid water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. So the eternal purpose we see unfolded, fully revealed. And then the eternal purpose was clearly settled in Scripture as the church worked through the issue of circumcision. Now that's a series. That's not just a few words to talk about, but we're going to try to get a basic idea. The eternal purpose of God was clearly settled in Scripture as the church worked through the issue of circumcision. So the church acknowledged God's purpose. Notice immediately following Acts 10, we'll pick up in Acts 11 and read down to verse 18. So the church is acknowledging God's purpose. And remember, the church was in Jerusalem. Okay, that's where the church originated. The apostles were in Jerusalem. The gospel had spread throughout that whole area, but it had spread, remember, to the Jews. The gospel had spread to the Jews. So there were congregations all over that area of Judea of Jewish Christians. So Acts 11, beginning in verse 1. Now, the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So you have all these believers in Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, these are Jewish converts from looking for the Messiah to recognizing Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Okay, that's these people. So they were throughout Judea, they heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them?" Okay, so remember what we read, even what Jesus said there in Matthew about the Gentiles being dogs, you know, and so you get the idea of how the Jews looked at everybody else. Okay, that's important to keep in mind. So you went to uncircumcised men and ate with them. But Peter began and explained to them in order. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, "By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth." But the voice answered a second time from heaven, "What God has made clean, do not call common." Verse 10, this happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. Read on. Verse 11, and behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. Stop right there. So, remember, this is the Apostle Peter, and he is telling this to Christians who saw Jesus to be the Messiah, but thought it was exclusively for the Jews. Okay, that's get that in your mind. And it was very Jewish, okay, in the law that there must be two or three witnesses to confirm something, right? We looked at that a few weeks ago. We went back and looked at some text about that. Two or three witnesses. So, do you notice the confirmation by the Holy Spirit here? Of three times this appeared to Peter. Make no mistake, Peter knew the law. Peter knew that was a confirmation. Three times it happened. The same thing we see again. Three men came walking up. Another confirmation. It's like the Spirit is pounding on Peter. It's me, Peter. I'm confirming it. And then there were twice the number needed of witnesses, six, to go with Peter up to Jerusalem and confirm this to the church. Isn't that amazing how God works? That's just awesome. Okay, reading on. Verse 13. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in the house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. And he will declare to you a message. Did I skip something? No. Begin at verse 12. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me and entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel standing in the house and say, send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? Verse 18. When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. See that? What else could they say, right? It's pretty plain. It's all confirmed. It's very plain. See, God, boy, when he does it, he does it. Okay. So the eternal purpose was completely confirmed. So and then to the church. Okay, so for the early church, the apostles debated and settled the question, should Gentiles be required to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses? For the early church, the apostles debated and settled it. Notice in Acts 15, Acts 15 verses 1 through 11. Boy, that print got small, Tony. I don't know if I can read that or not. Verses 1 through 11 of Acts 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after, get that in your mind, what these brothers were saying. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, and you cannot be saved. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. After Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debated with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. It is necessary. Now, I thought this was settled back in chapter 11, right? It seemed plain, but we have here some of the party of the Pharisees who didn't get the message, I guess. They didn't get it as clearly as it seemed it was written. It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses. So the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them. So this, you know, we read through this and we don't comprehend the time frame or what all went on. We don't get the whole picture, but we get the, you know, we see the forest. We don't get the details of the forest. But apparently there was a lot of debate about this. I mean, this was no small thing within the church. And after these, let's see. And after there had been much debate, verse 7, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. See, so he's recounting what we just read in chapter 11. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. That's it. That's the last word. Amen. Just as they will. So, for the early church, and you can go on and read that, and basically they sent a letter to the Gentile congregations saying, there's a few things that you need to be aware of, you know, things offered to idols, and but really the whole essence of the letter, I think, was don't worry about circumcision and keeping the law of Moses, the ceremonial law. Don't worry about that. That's not part of what you need to worry about as Gentiles. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, just like we are as Jews. That's all you need to be thinking about. Preach the gospel, in other words. Now, for the church in every time and place, the question was settled by the Holy Spirit authorized and preserved epistles of the Apostle Paul. And boy, we could go through a lot of scripture at this point. But just a couple. Romans 3. The Apostle Paul was used mightily to settle and confirm this very thing. Romans 3, 21 to 26. Oh, good. I can read that. Big. Beginning at verse 21, chapter 3 of Romans. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. But now the righteousness of God, or the eternal purpose of God, has been manifested. That's what he's saying there. The eternal purpose of God has been manifested. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God is just, and God is the justifier of those who believe in Christ. And then, chapter 4 of Romans, verses 9 through 12. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised? Okay, so this blessing that we just read about, back up in chapter 3, by faith, the righteousness of God revealed through Christ to those who have faith in Him, is this blessing then only for the circumcised, or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised who were not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Do you get all that? That's just incredible. So in essence, he's not just saying, don't bother these Gentiles with making them be circumcised, but even these Jews, their circumcision is not counted as righteousness, because it's by faith for Jew and Gentile. Did you get that? It's not the Gentiles are saved some other way and the Jews are saved by keeping the law and circumcision. No. It's all by faith for Jew and Gentile who are children of Father Abraham, who had many sons. We sang that when you were a kid probably. Father Abraham had many sons. That's what it's talking about right here. Romans 4. It's awesome. Okay, so to recap, we have the eternal purpose of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is to unite all things in Christ. The eternal purpose is accomplished through the gospel. The gospel is God pouring His Holy Spirit into people of all nationalities, producing in them faith, which takes hold of the substitutionary life, death, and resurrection of Christ. This faith, being the first of good works, remember Ephesians 2:10? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So this faith is the first step of good works that God has prepared for His people. And then, last, the gospel is written, confirmed, and preserved in the 66 books of the Old and New Testament of the Holy Scripture. I'm sure you're all familiar with John 17:17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. And how does this apply to us today? How does this revelation of the eternal purpose of God apply in our lives? We are living in the revelation of Christ Jesus, the full revelation. You know, we're not looking, some people spend so much time worried about the future, okay? Thinking they have figured things out, maybe. Maybe they've got some idea of what's going to happen. They think they've got it figured out. The bottom line is, we as God's people, with the Holy Spirit living within us, are living in the eternal purpose of God. Right here, right now. And what is His will for us right here, right now? To love one another, to demonstrate the fruits of God's Holy Spirit to His people and in every aspect of our lives as we go forward into this world, as we go out into the world. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we exercising those things with the eternal purpose? That we are united with Christ. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Are we demonstrating that to one another, to the world? I hope this blesses you. Let's pray. Father, we are so amazed. Words fail. We're just so in awe of You and what You have done and how You have displayed Your glory in Christ Jesus our Lord, and how You have poured the Spirit of Your only begotten Son into Your people, crying out, Abba, Father. And we are so convicted of our faults and our failings, of our coming short of demonstrating the fruits of Your Holy Spirit that lives within us. I pray, Father, that these words, this precious word that we have read, will convict and encourage Your people to live for Christ. In His holy name I pray. Amen.